Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you're well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mulana. Yes, alhamdulillah, everything is fine. We had a little bit of rain this morning after Fajr. So that was very nice. Alhamdulillah, we haven't had rain in months.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, also in South Africa, it's been quite cool and excellent weather. Alhamdulillah, we make shukr for that. What we wanted to speak on today is vaping. So, I don't know what's, maybe you just want to give us a bit of an intro or a little bit of what's happening in Pakistan with regards to vaping. Is it common?
College age. In college age people, male and female, they're into that. People, the older generation, my generation, this type of stuff, put it in the mouth, chew it and spit it out. But those who are, I'd say, 20s and 30s and younger, into the vaping, so big time, in the open, they look more Western, they look more modern, and everything is just more Western appeal. I hate all of it. I know that the spreading of the smoke is dangerous for the people who don't smoke. So if you want to kill yourself, go do it someplace else. At least in America, you want to do this vape or smoke cigarettes. You have designated smoking areas on your job, in restaurants, and other places. So that people who don't smoke won't be affected by your suicidal mentality of wanting to kill yourself slowly with your own money.
And I think there is more appealing. We spoke about pedal previously. So it seems like what they're doing is they want to get stuff that is on the market that is appealing to all, or maybe a greater crowd than before. So we said soccer, it's not too appealing for those who are elderly because now their bodies are weak. They cannot play the sport. It's not appealing to those who are lazy. So that's where pedal fills that gap now. So people who are lazy, people who are, they then feel, okay, this is now, it's not much effort from our side, not much sweat, and we are able to engage and do all these things. Similarly, if you take just on that particular concept, smoking, some people will say, but they won't smoke because that smell is terrible. They cannot tolerate that smell. So this is where Shaitan comes in. Let's put something on the market, he inspires his friends, and they from the jinn kind, the mankind, they come together. Let's see how we can put something on the market that's appealing to even that person who doesn't like the smell of cigarettes. So now he will do it as a social, and it's quite scary and horrific to know children are getting involved in this, and it's becoming so common. It's like nobody's even giving
social,
the attention.
Social vaping, huh?
Yes.
That's a new expression. I think when you were a child, when I was a child, social drinking was the thing. My mother, she doesn't drink. Okay. But if there's a wedding, and champagne is given out, or a birthday party or something like that, then she will drink it, and only that. But on weekends or at a bar or something like that, she would never drink. So she's a social drinker. Okay. Now it's a social vaping. If someone sees you with the vape, they say, okay, this guy knows English. He's probably in the university. He's fairly intelligent. He's not unemployed. He probably has a job if he's not in school or something. It tells you something about you before the person even meets you. arrested type of thing. It is status symbol. It's a status symbol.
Hmm. So this, like, if you see, one is the social factor. But do you think that also it's because people are stressed out, so they need something to take out that stress? And of course, when you speak to them, they say, you know what, oh, don't even speak to us about Dean. We are far from Dean. So firstly, we have to deal with this depression that we're in. So it's just become like a habit. Could that also be a factor?
Okay. When I was working, I worked with a lot of people that smoke, and they were my friends. And I asked every one of them, how, because they tell me the same thing that you just said. I said, how does smoking reduce your stress? No one has given me an answer in the 69 years of my life.
Hmm.
Okay? That's the talking point. That's the standard answer. Okay? But it doesn't. You're spending your money. You smell very bad. It puts holes in your clothes. The ashes are fly. How does it reduce your stress?
Hmm.
Okay, they still haven't answered that. I said, if it reduces your stress, you should smoke even more then, right?
Hmm.
As soon as the stress comes back, you should light up another one.
Yes.
Why you only smoke one pack a day? You should be smoking three packs a day.
Hmm.
As soon as one goes out, you should light up another one.
Hmm.
But they've convinced themselves it reduces stress. But no, it's peer pressure. You grow up. All right? You see rich people. Well, when I was a child, in the movies, it was still okay to show people that smoked. And the very famous actors in their movies, all right, the man, James Bond, and well famous. Everybody wanted to be like James Bond, black and white. Yeah, he smoked, he drank. So slowly they started taking drinking out of the movies and television commercials and what have you. When I talk to people here, they say, well, how can it be so bad if all these very rich and famous people are doing it, if all the Americans are doing it, how can it be bad? I mean, that's what they say. They say that it reduces stress, and I find the same thing. I said, but how is it?
Hmm.
Well, Allah says, to reduce the stress, you think of Allah. You think of Allah's name. You repeat, Quran and what have you. The remembrance of Allah reduces stress. No, not a cigarette. Not something that's poisonous.
Someone had shared this with me to say that if you want to really give up smoking, so they say there's two things to it. One is you are taking your hand and you are placing it to your mouth. So that action needs to be replaced. So you should buy nuts or something and place it, so eat it, put it in your mouth. So that's the one thing that is going to give you that sort of confidence to give it up. Another thing is they say when you smoke, you are breathing in, you are inhaling, and then you are exhaling. So that action also needs to be it needs to be substituted. So why not? Why put smoke in and exhaling? Why don't you breathe in the oxygen? And so that breathing exercise, that on in itself is beneficial. So I heard this recently and I was shocked to hear it from a mufti, where he actually hosted this particular female. And he said, and they were discussing all breathing exercises. The podcast, I've got it somewhere else. I was just totally annoyed by it. So this female says that, you know what, you must breathe in and you must say, I am, I am. And when you're breathing out, you must say strong, I am. And when you breathe out, and the mufti is listening and he's like saying how beautiful and encouraging this is and this, that, the other. But the actual factor here is, how can you be impressed with that when Quran Sharif gives you the answer? Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Listen with the remembrance of Allah. That's where the hearts find solace and peace. So instead of saying that, to replace this, what can you say? You will say that breathe in with Allah's name and breathe out. This is better for you instead of doing all of this here.
Mawlana Musila, rahmatullah, in his book Sharia and Tasawwuf, right, he talked about the breathing exercise. Okay, I forgot what it was called, Pas Anas, or something like this, where you breathe in Allah and you exhale Hu, Allah Hu, Allah Hu. Allah, who? We already have that. I mean, the Sufis have it. Why we have to listen to that woman if you want to do that?
Exactly.
But it's definitely from shaitan, because people want to quit and they can't quit. They don't have the willpower to quit. Exactly. So the best thing is don't start. That's the best thing. Don't start. And then after that, read the package. What does the package say? This stuff will catch you, will kill you.
Exactly.
It will hurt your health. Okay, just do that. This is enough. for most people, all right, just stay away from it.
Exactly.
And you won't get addicted. I was looking at what I just sent you earlier this morning.
Okay.
An article from a New York newspaper.
Okay.
About detransitioning. Transitioning became a big thing the last few years. Going from a male to a female, or a female to a male, and like that, and so many different genders and what have you. But now it was like a detransitioning awareness day in America. And there's a growing number of people who have changed their mind about transitioning, and now they're stuck. This girl, at the age of 12, she was advised by doctors and psychiatrists to change to be a boy. Okay, so she got hormone blockers and other types of medicine, and then after a couple of years, her breast started to develop, so they told her to have her breast cut off. So she did that, and she started at the age of 12. By the age of 16, she realized she made a mistake.
Okay.
And now she wants to go back to being a woman, but she can't even recognize her face. She looks so different. Okay. And these surgeries that were done to her and hundreds of other people are irreversible, although they were told it is reversible. This is a big thing now. What got this my attention was here, and probably in South Africa too, we feel that the American Medical Society or American medicine or doctors are like Allah's gift to mankind. And that if you have a disease, that you can only get it cured if you go to America or Britain. And this is what the people in America are doing. This is what the doctors are doing. And the psychiatrists working with them, telling a 12-year-old girl, listen, you know, you're a boy trapped in a girl's body. So you have to correct that. And if you don't correct that, you'll never be a good person. You'll never be in love with yourself. Okay, so you have to transition to be a boy. And now they say it's a growing number. So the Congress, they're having sessions about this and having people come up and speak about it. And this is one thing that Trump has canceled within the first 4 weeks that he's got there. Hospitals that do the transitioning. Hospitals that will cut off the breast of a girl because she wants to be a boy, or she's told that she should be a boy, or like that. But this poor woman says that if she's able to have a child, she won't be able to breastfeed. Okay, and she's a non-Muslim woman, you know, sad about the fact she can't breastfeed when our women don't like to breastfeed and like to give the formula milk. This is the thing: people have to understand, especially people here, and probably in your country as well, that the American Medical Society is not looking after your interest. Okay, they're not. They're only looking at money. The fact that they've done a study to see that if they find a cure for this particular disease, any particular disease, how will it affect their roles in the future? All right, will there be less people going to the hospitals? Will be less people visiting doctors? If they give you a pill that will eliminate, for example, polio or eliminate, you know, corona or something like this, and then you'll never have to go back to the hospital or the doctor, how will that affect the medical industry? They've done studies on that. Okay, now what kind of person does that? You're supposed to be a doctor because you want to help society, right? That's what most of the people say.
And I think I sent you that just last week or the previous week about the BBC. They put the title and they were shocked to see that people are still living. And their concern was that people are not dying. That they just gave away the whole plan. So pre-pandemic levels, and then they saw afterwards how there's this decline of deaths. So this just it basically fits in like a puzzle piece for what we've been discussing all along. Depopulate, rule the world, because they can't manage so many people, so of course it's got to be less people. And if most are robots, well, we can say also that we are humans, but now we programmed not to the Sunnah, not to the Sharia, not to Wahi. We are programmed to their dictates and their ways via AI and the rest. So that's exactly what, as long as we are law-abiding servants of theirs and not law-abiding servants of Allah, then they are fine with that. But as long as you are, then you, yesterday, Muftisa, I'm sure you've seen it also, Philippines. So there is the president, the ex-president there. And he was working and making effort to stop drugs from being, from people taking drugs. And so they call it a war on drugs. President Rodrigo Duterte. So the ICC, they issued a warrant and they said, you know what, this what you're doing is wrong. It's a crime against humanity.
You're denying a person his right to kill himself by using heroin or cocaine or something.
And that's exactly, if you see previous articles of the BBC, that's exactly what they portray of Afghanistan. That since now they took their country back and they in charge, all those poppy seeds which the US was enjoying for so many years, they say now what happens to these drug addicts? They have to buy now this fake drugs and this which is not too pure. So they're killing themselves even worse now because Taliban has crushed all these poppy seeds and they want a sane country. And they will put all these titles. But it's a crazy, insane world which we're living in.
When they first came over, when they invited the United Nations, different countries to come to Afghanistan and fight Taliban. America, they had maps of where each country's troops were. And the majority of America's troops were near the poppy fields of heroin in Afghanistan. But like Britain, Canada, Australia, other countries, they were doing real fighting. All right, and there would always be problems, you know, they killed the wrong person or, you know, they shot at a wedding party or something like that. But the Americans, where were they? They were guarding the poppy fields to make sure that there was no decline in the amount of heroin making it to America.
And it makes perfect sense, because if you just go to the Palestinian issue and we see the rogue terrorists, Israel, this was released by one of the authentic, reputable websites. And they have said that according to the Ministry of Defense representative, 10% of the wounded suffer moderate to serious injuries. We're speaking about the Israeli terrorists. 6,363 wounded need permanent medical care. And now, because of their psychological condition and what they're suffering from psychologically, they employed and appointed 400 new psychologists to deal with those who are suffering from psychological disorder. So it makes sense, because you are dealing with Allah alone knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending upon these people, what they sing. They say sometimes they sing demons in that. So how do they deal with it? Just pop these poppy seed drugs, cocaine and the rest, and deal with it in this manner.
Yeah, they're suffering a little bit now. Wait till they die and they get the real punishment. SubhanAllah. Allah is merciful.
Allah is great, truly. So this, yeah, and another thing that comes to mind is the amount of money they're spending. We still need to set aside, I think maybe inshallah tomorrow, speak about the recession that's currently happening in the US. How much billions didn't they send to go and bomb? We're not just speaking of Palestine, throughout the world, wherever they needed to. It's been the past Taliban, and how much now they're spending giving, weaponizing the rogue regime Israel, and doing all of this here, but now it's backfiring upon them, the recession that they're facing.
Yeah, and Trump has already put spin on it. He says he wants the dollar to get weaker internationally to help the trade imbalance. Mm. So he's already putting spin on it. That, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that the dollar is becoming weaker. And, yes. You know, the stock market is going down.
So, and another good thing I read this morning also that's coming out of it is now, because they're putting a lot of pressure on South Africa and trying to, just last week was it, or the previous week, there was this whole fight on, I believe I read it somewhere on television. It was broadcasted live, and Zelensky and Trump, they were having a go at one another. So Zelensky was, according to what I've read and heard, he was putting up quite a fight and, you know, like really putting pressure on Trump and that. But no sooner does he go out of that conversation, Trump puts down his threats and everything, and Zelensky then sends out and he says, you know what, I apologize, what I did was bad and this and that, the other. And because, you know, Trump is getting close with Zelensky's enemy, and that's Vladimir Putin. So they say, how does this work now? You first started this war between us, and now you're back, going and you're standing with our enemy. So what's happening? That's what the America is known for. They stand in the back and they just try. Now and then they will go and catch a hiding. But they've realized the hiding part is a bit embarrassing. So let's do it this way. Cause the wars. Weaken countries within. So what I'm saying,
they haven't won a war in years, my brother. In a lifetime. They haven't won a war in a lifetime. Okay, America. They get paid to fight, but where do they go? They go to other countries like Vietnam. Vietnam chased them out of there. Say, get out of here. You know, a bunch of people who raise rice, you know, and rice fields. They chased them out of there. Taliban, it took them a long time, but they chased them out of there. Okay? They can't win. America can't win because they're being paid to fight. And the people who are fighting, the military, they don't want to be there. The Americans don't want to be in Afghanistan. They didn't want to go to Libya. They didn't want to go to, you know, these different places. They didn't even know why they were there. Before they went, many people didn't know where Vietnam was on the map. when they invaded Iraq, when they invaded Iraq, people didn't know that Iraqis were not Arabs. Yeah, no, Iran, excuse me. They didn't know Iran were not Arabs, all right? Mm-hmm. And Arabic was not the national language over there. There's a lot they didn't know, and they don't care. It's the banks, the bankers that's running everything, and this is what the Rothschild, they started, all right? Giving money to Israel, but also giving money to Hamas. All right, or giving weapons to both sides, let both sides shoot up each other, and then they come in and clean it up, and like that.
Mufti, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. We really appreciate everything. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum.